We're continuing now in the 52nd verse of the 6th chapter of John. Yes, this is a long chapter. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Okay, so a couple things before we get started about this passage. One, in the Revised Common Lectionary, you get a whole month on this every third year. The entire month of August is on the Bread of Life monologues. I am not going to attempt to cram 4 to 5 Sundays worth of preaching into one day. You're welcome. This is the first I am statement of Jesus in John's gospel. There will be others. This is, I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the gate. Jesus will continue to make I am statements. Those are all tied back to Exodus 3 and God's disclosure of the divine name at the burning bush. I am who I am. Lastly, before we get started, you need to hear verse 60 because it applies. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Yes, this is hard stuff. It is dense. It is layered. And where I want us to start is not here. Do not jump your mind to here because I saw you doing it already. What I want to ask us today is, do we understand what bread means? The symbolism of bread in the Christian church has been layered and long. We like the symbolism that many grains come together, are ground together, and become one loaf. That starts that imagery in the 2nd and 3rd century. We have the imagery that Jesus refers to of the manna in the wilderness. We have the unleavened bread at Passover. We have Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." We have people like me who believe it's not a meal if there's not bread on the table. We have lots of people who believe that if you shouldn't eat any bread because it'll help you lose this. Bread occupies a complicated place, both theologically and socially for us. What we often tend to forget is the role that bread plays in places where there is hunger. We are fortunate, we are blessed, and we realize and have realized again how much that sets us aside from many of our neighbors through the ministry of the Blessing Box. One of the gifts that bread does is bread fills up your stomach. It makes you feel full. And we could get a nutritionist in here and they could tell us about whether it's good full or bad full and all those sorts of things, but it makes us feel full. That is actually its historical role, is to tell us that we are done eating, to fill it up, to provide some energy from the carbohydrates, but to let us not feel as though our stomach is empty. It's cheap. It's easy to make. And once upon a time, people would make fresh bread every day. And it's not just bread that fills that role. You get into Southeast Asia and rice fills that role. For a long period of time in Ireland, potatoes filled that role. When we travel to Malawi and Tanzania and Zambia, sema fills that role. Sema is essentially grits with No salt, no butter, no sugar, no shrimp, no cheese, and it's the texture of Play-Doh. But what it is it's ground corn flour, and it's water, and it's cooked, and it gives you energy, and it fills you up. Bread and its worldwide partners, synonyms, are that which makes us feel full, feel sated, feel like we've had enough. And that is why I didn't want to start here. I want to start with, what does it mean to say that Jesus is the one who makes us feel that we have enough, that we are full, that we are satisfied, that we are sated, that we need not put something else on our plate and into our mouths? I think so often we run for the symbolism and we miss the power of the immediacy of the metaphor. We talked about it briefly in Sunday school, that one of our challenges for most of us is that we are easily distracted by the things we want. And often they are the things we don't have. We wouldn't want them if we had them. I mean, have you ever spent time and energy, passion, money to get that thing that you wanted that would make your life complete? And then, my gosh, my life wasn't complete. I need to find another thing. Let me find another thing to do, to spend time, energy, money, care, passion on. That will surely fill me up, right? This is a repeating cycle. It does not work. There's an old joke about how do you ask a millionaire, when you ask a millionaire, how much is enough? The answer is a little more. And I don't think it's true just of millionaires. We need to be sated. We need to know we've had enough, and we need to be full. And this promise of Jesus as the bread of life is that the promise that we will be filled. We will want for nothing. We will have no hunger pangs in Christ. And that's a hard thing for us to wrap our heads around, because honestly, most of us feel like we're still missing something. There's still something we want. There's still something we're short of. Maybe it's something we had and we've lost. Maybe it's something we've been told our whole lives that we need to have. I need a bigger house. I need a better car. I need a bigger congregation. You know, all the things they tell preachers. If I'm hungry for those things, then I'm not hungering for the bread of life. And if I'm hungering for those things, then I'm not satisfied with the bread of life. And so that is one of, I think, our faith challenges for all of us, is to start to figure out how to be sated and satisfied and filled by Christ. John has Jesus saying that people who eat the bread of life abide in Christ. This is not the only place he's going to use that abide language. Later, John will use it again, and he will say, those who abide in love abide in me, and I abide in them. We can pull together several of these abide passages and several of these I am passages to give us a more complete understanding of who Jesus is and how Jesus is in the world. I hate to tell you this, but as a theological student, we're never going to get to 100% of that answer. We're going to have to be satisfied, frankly, really overjoyed if we can get to 85%. That may be a C+ on the school grade, but in terms of knowing God, 85% is. So there is this piece that we need to keep hungering for the bread of life. We need to keep hungering for Christ and not let it slip away. I can make the argument that many Christians worldwide have gone on a bread of life free diet, carb-free diet. And I think we need to put it back in the middle of the table for when we feed spiritually, for what we offer to one another and what we offer to the world. It is really easy for us, and now I'm going to do it, to jump to communion, to the Lord's Supper. When we hear, "You must eat my body and drink my blood," that sounds like this. That's the narrative we hear relayed in the words of institution from Paul's letters. It is the narrative we hear in the other three gospels. It doesn't happen in John's gospel. It's missing. This is as close as John gets to describing the Lord's Supper. And we good church people joke about tiny pieces of bread and little shot glasses of grape juice. Isn't it enough? There are many squabbles in the early church about this table and about this table being celebrated by the people who didn't have to work every day as a big extravagant feast. And then there was literally nothing left for the rest of the body of Christ to come together around. And that was a problem. That still is a problem. This table is central to who we are. It gave us a bad name originally. We were cannibals. We ate the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that confused people, made us sound horrible, and got us persecuted. I mean, I get why they thought that. It's just what we say every time we do this. They just heard us, listened to us. Thought we were telling the truth. This table is still at the center of our life. We are mandated in our Book of Order to celebrate communion at least quarterly. Many denominations celebrate communion weekly. It is a regular part of their worship gathering because it is essential that we be fed by Christ and at Christ's table. And I think actually the symbolism of how we do communion now is even more important. We don't have wafers on this table. But if we did, you know, they taste like packing peanuts or rice cakes or something like that. It is not the fullness of flavor I come to associate with Jesus Christ. But it is supposed to be enough. It is not supposed to be a gourmet meal. It is not supposed to be a replacement for lunch. It is supposed to be enough. And our doctrinal position on it is that we remember when Christ did this. Hence why the table says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that memory, plus a little bit of bread and a little bit of cup, is supposed to bring to our minds and our hearts and our souls the fullness of Jesus Christ. Does it? I think the question for us, as we gather food for others on this day, as we bemoan the number of chicken wings and pizza slices and hamburgers and nachos and everything else that will be consumed tonight, is for us to continue to figure out how we proclaim to one another that Jesus Christ is the bread of life and is enough. And how we then proclaim that to our world. My stomach just growled. We want to talk about point, counterpoint. Thanks, boss. What is it that we're really hungry for? As we read this fall, why do we keep going after bread that does not fill us and drink that does not satisfy us? We have what we need. We have everything we need in Christ. How will we let ourselves do the thing you're not supposed to do at Olive Garden? Become full on the bread. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.